I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings the word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
Spirit. Praise the Lord, St. Matthews. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has been a mighty good God. Praise the Lord. Would you please stand up on your feet this morning? God is so good. What a pleasure it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And we just want to thank Him for giving us the opportunity and the privilege for that. Would you please bow your heads as we have a word of prayer? Most holy and everlasting God, we come before you just praising your name, Father. We thank you for life, health, and strength. And we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, that we would have a right to the tree of life. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for traveling mercies, for bringing us here this morning. And we thank you again for the opportunity of being able to praise your name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the coming together of the saints this morning. We thank you for our pastor and his family. We thank you for our church family that we have here. Lord, we thank you for the ministries that you have given us to serve within, to give you more praises. Lord, we ask that you will continue to watch over us. We ask that you will continue to bless each and every person here and those that are watching us. Lord, we ask that you would continue to pray. Lord, continue to watch over us. And Lord, we ask that we will continue to pray and give you all praises, all honor. Lord, we cannot honor you enough. All these prayers in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. We've come into this house to give him praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Well, he's Alpha. He's Omega. Hallelujah. You are Alpha.
Alpha.
And Omega.
And Omega.
We worship you.
We worship you, our Lord.
You are worthy. And Omega.
And Omega.
We worship you.
We worship you.
You are Lord. You
are worthy to be praised.
We give. Just lift your hands right there. We worship you, our Lord. Say Omega.
And Omega.
Come on, I didn't come to be cute this morning. We come to worship you.
We worship you, our Lord.
You are worthy to be praised. lift your voice. We give you all the glory, Lord. Yes, we do. Say you are Alpha, yeah.
You are Alpha
and Omega.
And Omega. We worship you, our Lord.
You are worthy.
You are worthy to be praised.
You are worthy. Open up your mouth and say, oh, you are worthy.
You are worthy to be praised.
You are worthy to be praised. Last time.
You are worthy to be praised.
Come on and open up your mouth. Come on and clap those hands. My God is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. For he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's worthy. From the rising of the sun until the going of the same. My God is worthy. He's worthy. I don't care what you're coming through. I don't care what you're facing. God is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 How many know, hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised? Come on. Come on and raise the praise right there. Hallelujah.
Thank you. kings, and he's Lord of lords. He is the potentate of paradise. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If you don't praise him, he's got program rock that'll cry out. I come to glorify him this morning. I've been through hell all week. So I come to give him some praise this morning. So worship this morning. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad within it. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise clap. Amen. First, give an honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our beloved pastor. I thank God for him. We have spoken with him earlier this week. He sounds strong and he's getting better. Amen. Amen. Thankful for this pastor for 36 years of his faithful service here. He leads by example, teaches with transparency. He is a visionary, and he's an integrity of overseeing this entire flock. Amen? So I'm asking that you would continue to keep our pastor in prayer, and we love him, we miss him, can't wait till he returns. Amen? Follow this morning, I have scripture reading by Minister Ed Arnold and Reverend Dan Spencer, and prayer by Reverend Williams, in that order. Amen? Amen. Amen.
First scripture will be James 1:19. That's James 1:19. And this is what the Word of God says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Amen. Good morning, St. Matthews. Our second scripture will be coming from Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 19th through the 23rd verse. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. And it reads, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Let us look to the Lord. Lord Father God, once again, Lord, we want to say thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, your Son, and hung on old rugged cross for each and every one of us. Now, Lord Father God, we ask, Lord, that you just open up our hearts and our minds that we can receive your word, Lord Father God. Lord, Father God, touch and bless our pastor, Lord, healing, Lord, Father God. And Lord, Father God, those that are watching and listening, Lord, Father God, let the Holy Spirit just dwell. And Lord, Father God, bless each and every one that is assembled here today. Bless the musicians. Bless the choir as they sing praises. bless each and every one of your children that's going to bring forth your word today, Lord, that it might touch someone's heart, that they might say, what must I do to be saved? Because, Lord, Father God, you said you're coming back like a thief in the night. No one knows the day nor the hour that you're going to return. Only you, Lord, Father God. So, Lord, Father God, let us be prepared. Lord, Father God, let the Holy Spirit just reign throughout these four walls today. I ask his blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let's give the choir a hand clap. Great job, great job. They sound good this morning, don't they? Amen. At this time, without further ado, I'd like to call to the pulpit Tanya. I'm looking at Christine, that's why I said that. I'd like to call Sister Tanya. Amen. I'm sorry. See, this is what I teach in premarital.
That's my mama. That's my mama. Good morning, church family. I would like to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and also our wonderful pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon, Sr. Yes, Pastor is worthy of the honor. Pastor has been unwavering for the last 38 years, and he wants you to know he's still working feverishly behind the scenes each and every day. Pastor loves you, and he is praying for you. Today, I'm happy to share a message with you from Pastor Gordon. This week, our theme is God Saves the Best for Last. Yes, God saves the best for last. As you know, we've been discussing how God moves us from place to place to place. He moves us to a place of peace. And last week, we were reminded that the promises of God are yea and amen. Pastor has set the table for you today to learn and to grow. He's lined up a powerful message from the Word of God. And again, remember this week's theme, that God saves the best for last. Thank you.
Amen. At this time, I'm asked for the outreach report, and we have Deacon Pete Jarvis, minister in training. Amen. Let's give it a hand clap. Amen.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Amen. Amen. I'd also like to thank my pastor, my wonderful pastor, who works hard and still working hard, as was mentioned. Continue to keep him in prayer. I'm in charge of giving the outreach report. Yesterday, we went out to finish up Park Crest Apartments. We visited 65 homes, and 4 souls got saved. Amen? Amen. 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 Now, all those who was involved yesterday, please stand, because how beautiful are the feet of those who give the gospel of peace. Amen? Amen, amen. And we meet over here at the CDC every Saturday at 10 o'clock. Some of us can't make it every Saturday, but we meet every Saturday. We have Juanita back there. She can't make it every Saturday. She's taking care of her daughter. But we not only share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we also have opportunity to pray for people. Like last week we met, we stopped at a house, and the woman at the house was gathering her family around to take her son off of life support. And the fact that God placed us there to pray with her was a blessing in itself. We went back yesterday just to check on her and just to encourage her that much more. Amen? But just join us every Saturday, 10 o'clock CDC. Amen? Thank you.
Amen. Let's give a hand clap. Amen. Thank you. Deacon Jarvis is doing an excellent job with that. I greatly appreciate it. And I know Pastor does as well, his gift of evangelism. And that's one of the mandates of the church to go out there for. Amen. Are there any screen announcements? Okay. Praise God.
Ladies, we have exciting news. The Women's Breakfast is back. Join us Saturday, May 18th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Registration is required. Register in the main lobby through our Facebook page or call the church extension 2278. We hope to see all of you there. Hey, church family. The Lord has blessed us to be able to donate 20-inch kids' bikes to qualifying low-income families. If you or someone you know in the local community are interested in applying, please call the church at 856-629-4614, extension 2278. The deadline to apply is Sunday, May 19th. This concludes today's general announcements.
Now it's offering time. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. Can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. A tenth of a tithe. If you made $500, God's asking for the first 50. If you made $1,000, God is asking for the first 100. Of course, you hear it several times, but it's true. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8. Yet you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. But God says, test me, prove me, try me. Watch this. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. The next verse says, and see if I will not rebuke the devourer.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? So in other words, when you're obedient to God, he'll hold back the devourer from eating your crops. Amen? Amen. This time we'll have our offering. Amen? Amen. Have a good selection by the choir.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Say,
baby,
he paid the cost.
He paid the cost.
When you want.
just what he said he would do, he's gonna do it. He's gonna do it.
Church, amen. This morning I'm tasked to set before you our pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon Sr., set the table for our spiritual meal as a full course meal. We have four speakers that will come forth. We have three that will come forth for 10 minutes each, and I will give it to you in the order that they will come up. First, we'll have Reverend Roy Walker. Y'all need to stop calling Pastor Netflix. Amen. Next, we'll have, following him, is Minister Cleve Folt. Amen. Cleve just is a powerful preacher. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, he's just powerful. Then after that, we'll have Minister Michael Brown. And our keynote speaker will be that of myself. Amen. As they said, our theme is God saves the best for last. You're reading too far into that. Amen. After the choir sings, we'll have that order. These preachers will come. Amen. Let's stand and greet each one as they come forth. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. This song right here says, I need you to survive. Come on, choir, help me sing. vocal house, say, I need you.
I need you.
You need me.
You need me.
We're all a part of God.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me.
We're all a part of God.
We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will. Important.
You are important to me.
And I need you.
I need you to survive.
Come on, say you are important to me.
You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Come on, let's say I pray for you. Me.
You pray for me.
I love you.
I love you.
And I need you.
I need you to survive.
I won't harm you.
I won't harm you.
With words from my mouth.
With words from my mouth.
I love you.
I love
you. And I need you.
I need you to.
Come on, say I pray for you.
I pray for you.
You pray for me.
You pray.
I need you.
I need you to survive.
I won't harm you.
I won't harm
with
you.
With the words from my mouth.
With words from my mouth.
Because I love you.
I love
and I need you.
I need you.
Come on, open up your mouth and say, I pray for you.
I pray for you.
You pray for me.
You pray for me.
I love you.
I love
and
you.
I need you.
I need you to survive.
need you. I need you. I need you to survive. No matter what you're going through, you need to survive. Don't let life beat you down. Don't let situations blow your mind. God needs you to hold on, hold out, and watch God work it out. He's a great God, a great King. He's God Almighty. We gotta survive. Father God, is in the name of Jesus that we come to you, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord God, just forgive us for anything we said or done. It's not worthy of a child of God. Help us, Lord, to survive. We can't make it without you. You are our strength. You are our life. Without you, Lord, nothing. Have your way. Watch over our pastor. Watch over Miss Gordon as well. Keep them strong. It's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Giving honor to my Lord and Savior, the Christ, and to my pastor, Pastor Gordon. If you give me the task to deal with, he saved it to the last. To the last. He saved it to the last. In your Bibles, John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Good to the last drop. John chapter 2, verse 1. There's two things I want to do today. I want to cover one. When you look at it, it's so important we understand. I want to deal one, the bridegroom. The blessing of the bridegroom. Two, the blessing of joy. And three, the benefit of that joy. The joy, the blessings, the bridegroom. It's right here that they say they had no wine. It's no wine. The mother of Jesus came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we have no wine. And we said, we have no wine. Jesus said something strange. He said, what have I to do with that? Why is that my problem? And then the mother walked away and said, do exactly what he says. Do exactly what he says. You know what I mean? And so when he said that, people think when he said, woman, what have I to do with that? That's being disrespectful. No, it was a cultural phrase to say that back in then. Why? You say in John chapter 4, you come to find out that Jesus said, woman, the time come where you will not worship here or neither there, but you worship in spirit and truth. Then you come to find out another story, that lady caught in adultery. Jesus said, woman, where are thou accusers? Then you find out he's at the cross. He said, woman, behold thy son. Then you find out after the crucifixion, he said, woman, why art thou crying? A common phrase. But then the mother, when she said that, she said, Jesus, no wine. She wanted Jesus to step in the role as bridegroom. To step in the role and be the bridegroom and do the responsibility what the bridegroom himself could not do. It ran out wine. He could not make wine. So he said, Jesus' mother said, hey, step in the role and be the bridegroom and do what no other man can do. Change water into wine. The bridegroom. And you find out this bridegroom, he stepped in the role and he took on that responsibility to be the bridegroom. And as he stepped in that role and he did it, it's symbolic of what he did in our life. Being the bridegroom, being that bride. You find out in Exodus, it says in Genesis 22, it says that guess what? The bridegroom that Abraham walked with his son to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, the sacrifice, that bridegroom. But in Revelation, you see in Revelation 22, verse 1, we see this bridegroom in this city, coming down from New Jerusalem, coming down as a bride, adorned for the bridegroom. And that bridegroom, that husband, is Jesus. So we see the bridegroom fulfilling it all, but not only the bridegroom. Then you see from the bridegroom, we also see what this man did, the benefits of the bridegroom. The benefits of the bridegroom. The blessing, I mean, of the bridegroom. What's the blessing? He said in verse 3, she said, guess what? In the third day. What is about this third day? There's always something symbolic, something strong about this third day. It's something about this third thing. God always do something great on the third day. And the third day, in Genesis chapter 22, I mean, Abraham coming to Mount Moriah with his son, and God would get ready to offer him to God, because God said, offer right thy only son on the third day. He walked for 3 days. When he walked for 3 days, it was the third day. He took his son, laid him on the altar, get ready to offer him, and God stopped him. And there was a ram in the thicket. Right. The third day. Right. Then we find out on the third day, God died in the grave 3 days. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. It was the third day. Now right here, he's saying the third day. But then it goes on to verse 6. It said, guess what? There were 6 bottles, stones of water cups, ball jars. 6. Why 6? Why 6? Because 6 is the number of man. 6. As God took 6 days, on the sixth day, God created man. These water bottles, these water stones, they represent the nature of man. Corrupted, hardened, stony, river of hard stone man who would not save. The stone that God got to carve into you to bring you alive. But then the water, that's still water. It represents our spirit. That our spirit without God is weakened. No power, no strength, no nothing. Then Jesus took that, and guess what? He got the servants to fill it up with water, fill it up with water, fill it up with water. But my question, why did he need the servants to fill it up with water? In Exodus, he just spoke to the water, and the water changed to blood. Changed to blood just like that. But now he asked the servants to fill it up. Why? Listen, God always need a witness. He always need a witness. So the servants fill it up. And they fill it up, and they fill it up. Then he said, now draw. And it changed to wine. The wine that represents joy. It represents transformation. It represents restoration, joy, transformation. Jesus changed the water to wine. The blessing of the joy. And when it changed it, it brought a new thing. In the same way, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the blood that came on our door changed us. It transformed us. We were water. We were weak. But now we're full of the Spirit of God. We're full of the Holy Spirit of God. Now we can walk right. We can talk right. We can act right. You know why? Because we're filled with the Spirit of God. But without that new wine, we're dead. We're lost. We're broken. And every day we got to keep on renewing ourselves in the wine of the Word of God. Every day, keep drinking from the wine of God's Word to be stronger, to be better, to be what God wants you to be. So not only you see the bridegroom, the blessing, but now look at the benefit. As I close, what's the benefit? The benefit is this. We have a new position. All right. We're in a new position. We're seated in heavenly places with God. We have a new power.
That's right.
A new power. Now we got the strength to do what God calls to do.
That's right.
Then we got now a new placement. You know what I mean? And our life now, what God got us is first. And like I said, he said the best for last. God been working on you for years and working on you and working on you. But now you are the best. You are the best. Because God called you. God created you. But not only are you the best. And then he saved the best for last. You know what I mean? There's another benefit. You kind of find out in Isaiah chapter 24. It finds out in verse 4, 5, and 6, they lack wine. There's a drought of wine. No wine, no joy, no transformation, no power. But in verse 25, in chapter 25 of Isaiah, it says that, guess what? God created a new wine. Wine of abundance, wine of joy, abundance for all Israel. And God going to do it again, that new wine. As God do that new wine, are you ready for that new wine? You know what I mean? See, because we had to discern, survive. You got to survive. No matter how much the thing come in your life. Why? Because we got that new wine already. That new wine that will give us strength to act right, to talk right, to be what God called you to be. Remember, no matter how things go in your life, he saved the best for last. God bless you.
Father, we come before you today, Jesus, thanking you for this day, thanking you for this time. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless us, Father. Glorify yourself in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I first want to acknowledge our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that wine that gives this life that he mentioned, you don't get that apart from Jesus. We'll get to that in a second. And I want to take a moment to thank Pastor Gordon. Listen, 38 years of discipling, 38 years of giving yourself, 38 years of looking over the youth, 38 years looking over the young adult, 38 years of watching you, of watching me, 38 years. You know, listen, sometimes I have a hard time watching my children, let alone all this. Yeah, we need to give him a round of applause. Thank you, Pastor, for being faithful. Thank you for being steadfast. Thank you, Pastor, for what you've done. Let's turn to John chapter 2. We're keeping and continuing with the theme. You should know my title. It is God Saves His Best for Last. So whatever he says, just do it. And you should know that because Pastor Gordon gave it to us. He's still looking out over us. Amen. Yes, y'all get that on the way home. Anyway, listen, so let me kind of set the scene a little bit just here. It's a marriage setting. Now, marriage is in the Jewish time, it was a feast. It was a festival. The bridegroom would actually buy the clothes for all the people. They would actually pay for all of the wine, and they would have a parade that people would attend. And this was a small town in Cana. It's a small town in Galilee, and so all the local people knew one another, and they all came. The disciples were aware of them. Jesus was aware of them. They gave out invitations. Invitations would go out like a year ahead of time, like when we get married. So, you know, they would turn up there and do their thing, you know, shine the spotlight on them and all that, you know. They would do all of those types of things. And so it was very serious. In fact, the marriages would last from anywhere from 7 to 14 days. So they went in. They went in. So we know that a lot about the scripture, but there's some symbolism here that I want to point out as well. The wedding, obviously, as Reverend Walker said, is symbolic of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus the groom and church is his bride, and his hour points to redemption. The water pots of the purification are symbolic of the fact that Jesus is the only purifier. Yes, Jesus is the purifier. Drawing out of the wine represents faith. It takes faith to go ahead and do what he asks you to do. God blesses our faith, and it's that good wine that represents joy. It's that good wine that he gave. Y'all not hearing me? Listen. This is that heavenly wine. It wasn't that earthly wine. It's that heavenly wine that he tasted. When the master got to it, he said, my goodness. He said, you saved the best for last. Yeah, that's different because the wine that they gave Jesus on the cross, that was that sour wine. Can't you see it? Jesus gives us that wine that gives us joy and gives us life, and yet he took that sour wine so that he could give us eternal life. Because he wanted to make sure that we got the best for last. I got to move on. To summarize that, the dipping takes faith, and Levitical purification is no longer needed because his hour, the hour that Jesus has, is redemptive. It's a redemptive in scope, and once we receive it, it gives us joy. Now, there's some observations that I want to kind of point out and, you know, move in and move out. In verse 4 and in verse 11, verse 4, chapter 2, he talks about his hour, right, had not yet come. And then on the other side, in verse 11, we see that everything that he did, there were miracles. These miracles are actually signs. John uses them as signs to point to something. They're going somewhere with that, to show his glory that the disciples might believe. Now, Sister Arnold, I'm going to use your words. He creates bookends. He created bookends. Because what he did was, he took the one verse, his hour not yet come, and he took that all the way to his last sign, to when his hour did come. And so everything in between from John chapter 2, you can really read the whole gospel out of John chapter 2. So he created a bookend. The other bookend is that we might believe. Because when you get to John chapter 20, verse 30, it says many other things that Jesus did, but these were written that you might believe. Believe what? That he's the only begotten, the only Son of God, that you might believe. So once you go through this gospel, you should be able to yourself, you know what? I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day, he arose from the grave, but that was after he went to the lower parts, showed up, and showed out. He ascended into heaven. From then he will come to judge the quick and the dead. Jesus, the Christ, a resurrected Savior. Follow me. When he talks about woman, you know, my hour has not yet come. He's pointing out something. Now, he's saying, like, listen, Mary, now you know Gabriel did tell you that that which was conceived in you was by the Holy Ghost, and it was going to be called the Son of God. You do remember that I did tell you when y'all thought y'all had lost me, when I was in the temple, I said, you ought to know, ought to be about my Father's business, so I ought to be about my Father's business. Now, woman, what is this to do with me right now? You have a different agenda. Your mind is on this earthly thing. My mind is on heavenly things. Nevertheless, Jesus says, listen, my hour is not yet come. Now, we got to go pretty quickly, but Jesus' hour pointed to his crucifixion. Now, I'm still keeping in line with the fact that God saves the very best for last. Because what he did was, every miracle, every sign in John were building on one another. So, for example, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. There are 7 I am Satans. I can't go through them all. He said, I'm the bread of life, right? Well, then he turned around and fed 5,000. Then he turned around and he said, I am the life and the resurrection. And then he took Lazarus and raised him from the dead. And when he kept doing these signs, these miracles, people kept believing. Except the religious leaders didn't like that because Jesus was getting their shine. They didn't like that because Jesus stole the spotlight. Well, I tell you what. Every time the mic is mine, Jesus will be in it every time. I gotta move. But listen. God saves his very best for last. You jump over into chapter 17, and Jesus spoke these words. He said, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and that Jesus Christ, who you sent, I've glorified you on earth. I finished the work which you have given me to do. And Jesus did all these things because his hour had come. Church, if you're still here, your hour has not come. There will be a time when your hour and my hour, y'all not with me. Okay, so y'all done messed up. One time, I was in 1993, we went through, y'all young people don't worry about this, but in 1993, we went through these ice storms, and everything looked like it was icicles all over everywhere. And so what ended up happening was these ice storms, you had to be real careful because you could slide and go everywhere. Well, the ice had melted. And one day, I'm on a street doing about 45 miles an hour, minding my business, and all the ice was gone, except that in the shape of a tree, there was some black ice right there. I couldn't see it. Not because I'm blind, but I just couldn't see it. And so what happened was I hit the black ice. And the next thing you know, the car swerved this way. I said, oh, I got this. Then it swerved that way. I said, uh-oh. And then it started going straight for a telephone pole, waiting for a head-on collision. Only thing I could do, I couldn't pray. I couldn't think of any scripture. All I said was Jesus. I said Jesus. No lie. True story. The moment I said Jesus, the back of the car lifted up and it swung around. And somehow that tree that I was headed straight for ended up on the side. So it looked like I was going the other way because the car went that way. The reason why that happened was because my hour had not come up yet. Lord Jesus, there's too much glory I gotta give him. There's too much praise that gotta come off my lips. My hour had not come yet. Wait a minute, I got one more, and I'm gonna take my seat. I'm in Florida doing the work of the Lord. You can ask my wife, you can ask Mike Frazier over there. Frazier, what's good? So listen, I'm in Florida. Next thing you know, I get a pain. I don't know what's going up. Kept me up all day, all night. Lord have mercy. I don't know what's going on. Stayed away from church. Get to the airport. Ready to go home. Coming out of Tallahassee. Going to go to Atlanta. Come from Atlanta. Come to Philly. If I still feel this way, I'm going to the hospital. Clear sky out. We line up. Get ready to board the plane. Then next thing you know, he says, all right, we're about to board the plane. They open the door. The next thing you know, he says, oh, nope, sorry. The flight's been canceled. I said, what? Me and everybody, the flight's been canceled. I said, well, wait a minute. What happened? Why is the flight getting canceled? He said, I don't know. That happened out of Atlanta. I said, well, okay. Well, listen, call me an ambulance. So I got in the ambulance. I went to the hospital, and I was on the gurney, and the nurse was checking my body. And when she touched a certain part of my body, you would have swore I got the Holy Ghost because I jumped up off the gurney. What they discovered was that my appendix was about to rupture. And they did a surgery to remove the appendix. And I had three separate doctors tell me on three separate occasions, had I gotten on that plane, had I stepped on the... had I gone on the plane, you wouldn't be getting this sermon right now. Because my hour had not yet come. Guess what, y'all? Your hour has not yet come. Glorify him. Do your very best because the best is yet to come. When does it come? When we're raptured and we get to see him in the air face to face. The best is yet to come. So do whatever Jesus says.
Come behind a word like that. For my hour has not come. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and get out of your way. Let me get out of your way so we can get the keynote speaker up here, Reverend Tunstall. Let us pray. We come to you this morning, Heavenly Father, thanking you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, as the ultimate gift who sacrificed his life for us. I pray that your words be spoken to your people and not that of my own. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I greet you above a name that's above every name. And also to our pastor, I cannot take away, but I can add on to what the others may have said about pastor, where pastor is of a great spiritual leader. He's my spiritual father. We do pray for his recovery and that he would be back soon. And we pray for his family as well, that they continue to give him the strength that they need to endure. All right, real quick, the theme for today is Jesus saves the best for last. So, and I just want to home in a little bit on verse 5. It's going to talk a little bit about verse 4, but more so verse 5. And I want to talk about just do it. Just do it. And in verse 5, it says, his mother said unto her servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. All right. There's a gentleman by the name of Phil Knight, co-founder of Nike, who stated, just do it has become more than a slogan. It's a mindset, an attitude, a call to action. Jesus had just begun his ministry, and then his main objective was to do his Father's will, which is stated in John chapter 4, verse 34. And no one was to interfere with his predetermined course. Jesus, in his reply to his mother, was in no way disrespectful. Rather than ignoring his mother, Jesus took into consideration his earthly mother's concern as well as his heavenly Father's will. And so Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into good quality wine. Because Jesus always saves the best for last. And here we have in John chapter 2, Mary brings Jesus a problem. Not of her own, but that of someone else. Jesus' mother does not ask him to make, buy, or create more wine. She simply tells him what her concern is and tells others to follow his lead. Sometimes when we pray, we forget that it's not our place to tell God what to do. We can ask, but mostly we need to listen. Jesus responds from verse 4 is the equivalent of saying, what does that have to do with me, ma'am? Still, Mary doesn't ask for anything in particular. She does, however, tell the servants to listen to his instructions, since Jesus had never performed a miracle recorded before John chapter 2. We can't be sure what Mary, his mother, was expecting. But even without miracles, Mary has come to trust that Jesus can resolve her problems. Just as she was when Jesus was conceived, Mary seemed content to trust in God's plans, even when she doesn't know all the details. It is almost as if Mary is pushing her son into action. Much of any proud parent would push their own child into a new venture, they will begin something new. So Mary states, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Obey his orders immediately and exactly, for he may have reasons for them beyond what you and I can imagine. Hereby, she declares her expectation of his performing some mighty miracle in answer to what she has suggested to him, and recommends a rule, which it would be as well if every servant of Christ would consistently observe, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, not questioning the reasonable of the command or its fitness to accomplish the end proposed, but indirectly obeying whatever is clearly a principle of Christ. This suggests that there may have been discussions between Jesus and Mary about such matters, but Mary, sensing that Jesus would do something without revealing too much, gave the servants brief instructions. Do whatever he asks. By this, I understand that the unstated or underlined message is, it may look or sound strange, but following Jesus' instructions, just do it. I'm sure his mother, over a period of time, had often pondered the gracious words and godly wisdom she heard from the only begotten Son of the Father, and she had begun to understand what we all have to learn, that there is an unbridgeable gulf between God and man, which only the Lord Jesus is able to accomplish. But it would be achieved in God's way, in God's time. Mary had to be reminded who Jesus was and that his mission could never be influenced by mortal man or woman. She learned that there was an impassable gap between Christ's sinless deity and her own sinful humanity when graciously but firmly he addressed her with the words, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" No doubt a sword began to pierce her soul in hearing those words, but she immediately relinquished her parental authority over her uniquely conceived firstborn son with the words, "Whatever he says, just do it." Mary did what we call to do. She pointed others to God's only begotten son. She directed their attention away from herself and to the Lord Jesus Christ. She decreased in her own self-importance and elevated the eternal Son of God and sinless Son of Man, who today is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Despite what Jesus says about his time not yet having come, she acted in faith and with a remarkable determination. She says, "Whatever he tells you, do it." To put an exclamation point on it, whatever Jesus tells you to do, we can go to John chapter 5.
Come on, man.
The healing at the pool of Bethesda, where you have an invalid, a paralegic man, and God comes across, Jesus walks across him and he sees him. Jesus asks him the simple question, "Do you want to be healed?" Like most of us, we come with excuses because we haven't reached the destination point. We make excuses that something else is obstructing our way in getting to what we want. But Jesus asks a simple question, and we go around about giving Jesus a response. And Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" And therefore, in verse 8, Jesus says unto him, "Rise and take up thy bed and walk." And this is what's here. Here's the bottom line right here where we should shout at right here on John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, he does the healing of the man born blind. And in verse 7, he says and says unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And here it is that after the miracle happened, and here it is that Jesus came across with his disciples and he spit into the clay, put it into the man's eyes, and he went away. But here's what happened. There was a group of individuals who said, "You know what? Hey, we knew he was blind. We see him. What happened? How did you walk away seeing?" And he replied in verse 11. He says, "The man they call Jesus, he put some mud and put it on my eyes. And here it is. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed that I could see." So I'm so glad that whatever Jesus tells me to do, I will just do it. So my brothers and sisters, when Jesus says just what he wants us to do, we should always be happy to say, "I will just do it," because he always saves the best for last. So when Jesus was stretched wide and they put nails in his hands and he was looking down thinking of you and I, he said the blood came pouring out. The blood came pouring out for you and I, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And because of that, he said, "It is finished." And when he said, "It is finished," he said, "Now that you may have life," he said, "trust and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path." Therefore, he saved the best for last.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for what our ears have heard, our eyes have already seen. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for our pastor. We pray for your blessings upon him and our First Lady, Sister Gordon. And, oh God, we just pray that you would edify your flock We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified this morning. And we thank you already. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, say amen. First, giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to our pastor, who I'm grateful for. I want to make a correction. When I first started, I said 36. It's 38 years of faithful service here. Amen. Amen. I want to make that correction. Pastor's labored hard. He works hard. And I had the opportunity to come here on staff. And pastor has been faithfully, works hard, diligently. And I'm so grateful for the investments that pastor has poured into all of us. Amen. And we all get along. We don't compete. We all get along. So we represent pastor, and I'm grateful for that. Amen. I want to thank God for my wife and her prayers, man. I'm just grateful for her praying for me, because we were coming here this morning. And you know me, I just like James Cleveland, Andre Crouch, and I kind of listen to my old school gospel, because I'm getting my praise on before I get here. So this morning, I didn't have anything on. She goes, you don't want the ready one? I said, no. She says, it's good like that. I said, what do you mean? She said, you could hear the Holy Spirit talk to you and minister you in quietness. So we're riding down the road, and then all of a sudden, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Gary, this, blah, 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 and I'm just looking at her like, thank you, Jesus. And you know what God said? You prayed for this. I want to thank my wife. Amen. Following this preaching, I can almost do the benediction, but coming out of this theme today, as pastors assigned us, chapter 2, verse 1 of John to verse 11. And it's dealing with this wedding that we all have been acquainted with. And pastor's theme, his thrust this morning is, God saves the best for last. I want to use this title this morning real quick. The movement and making of a miracle. The movement and making of a miracle. In the earthly ministry of Christ, several movements had authenticated that he is the Christ. He moved from place to place, bringing about peace, power to his elected people. John 2, 1 through 11 is recorded the first miracle in his ministry. John starts with verse on the third day, takes a brief day-by-day diary, as John says, now on the third day. The overview of this particular chapter is the setting that's established, a need arises, the miracle, the address addresses the need, and the response to the miracle. Jesus often used miracles in the physical world to demonstrate spiritual truth. He healed people to show that he had the authority to forgive sin. He cursed the fig tree as a sign of the coming judgment of the temple. He healed on the Sabbath to show his authority over the Sabbath. He raised people from the dead to show that he is the resurrection and the life. He fed thousands to show that he is the bread of life. And here he's provided abundant blessings for a wedding to not only show us the magnitude of the wedding, but be aware that the wedding ceremony without Jesus is inviting for trouble. Pause in part. I've done weddings here. And I do premarital. And I watch people, especially ladies, they come in on Friday for the rehearsal. And they're all scared, all everything, want everything right. But I watch how the Holy Spirit puts everything right on the day of the wedding. But never, and pastors always doesn't want people getting married in this church without going through premarital. Some people do, they run into trouble. But my whole thrust is, invite Jesus into your marriage. Amen. Invite Jesus into your marriage, because without Jesus, you're asking for trouble. Amen. We're reminded, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's right. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Moses here represents the law as being God's leader in the Old Testament. Water to blood, signifying judgment. Here, changing water to wine speaks of joy. The law brings judgment, but God brings us joy. Grace brings us joy. Are you with me? John established in chapter 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. For God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, didn't that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned in the flesh. The changing of water and wine is Jesus' first public recorded miracle. Are you with me? He says Jesus has come to this wedding, and for a Jewish wedding, celebration would last approximately 7 days. And to run out of wine was disgraceful, shameful, and embarrassing. And yet here, Jesus was invited to this wedding, him and his five disciples. And I want to make a point that here we are. This Bible says, Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So Jesus' first miracle honors this wedding. Takes me back to Genesis, when the first miracle was the wedding. He created man and woman. And the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen. The Bible says they were both naked and unashamed. Until Slewfoot came in chapter 3, amen, and started speaking to Eve. Okay? But the first marriage, so Jesus comes along in this marriage in the New Testament, and now he replaces the law with wine. Are you with me? So there's a transference of a problem. In that story, there arises a need and a lack of wine. Okay? So the point is, we have been here through all these preachers. My point is, be sure that you have a life that is filled with joy.
That's right.
Matter of fact, it was read in the hearing, when the fruits of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. It's a shame to leave church and act like you just ate a lemon. There ought to be some joy and excitement. And I'm quite sure when Pete Jarvis leaves to go to witness, they ought to see some joy. Can you imagine knocking on the door and somebody's miserable wanting to witness about Jesus Christ? Amen. And people, when you least expect it, are reading you. They're reading you on your job. Wait a minute, don't you go to St. Matthew's? I'll leave that alone. But here, watch this. It says that Mary comes along and she comes to Jesus as it was read. Just do it. But she comes along and she identifies a problem. And Mary was quiet about it. She didn't make noise about it. She didn't text anybody. She didn't get on her phone and say, hey, girl, they running out of wine up in here. We're tying that liquor store open. Nah. Mary was quiet about the whole issue. And you need people, listen, you need people in your life like that, that see a problem but can take it in prayer. They're called intercessors. They don't have to know the whole story of why you need prayer, what you're going through, yani, 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 yani. All I need to know is they need some prayer. But vice versa, remember Jesus said this, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's hard. That's hard. Are y'all with me? People that persecute you and despitefully use you, you best be filled with the Holy Ghost. Without request, she tells a story that they have no wine. And she says to the servants, whatever he says, do it. Now, that's faith in action. She didn't know how he was going to do it, when he was going to do it, by which means he was going to do it. She said, whatever he does, whatever he says, do it. Luke 2:46, as Cleve had mentioned, Minister Fote, it came to pass after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, about 12 years old. Sitting in the midst of doctors, hearing them and asking questions. They were astonished in understanding of his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed and said to his mother, why have you dealt with us this way? Behold, your father and I sought thee. And he said, how is it that you sought me? Wish not that I must be about my father's business.
Yeah.
It says his mother kept these sayings in her heart.
That's right.
Jesus responded to her in verse 4, may it sound rude. He said, woman, what I have to do with thee? But here it is the disconnect. That Mary is no longer the mother. Amen? He says, woman. And we had reiterated on that. He had made a distinction. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, I know I can't talk to my mom that way. I'd have had a whoosh. Matter of fact, some of y'all know my mom. She would have, yeah. But the reason for the distinction was apparent because Jesus' hour had not yet come. The word hour is a theological term referring to an eschatological fulfillment, especially to Jesus of his glorification through his death, resurrection, and ascension. Within the theology of John's gospel, no human being, not even his mother, could determine this particular hour. Mary does not respond directly to him in verse 5, unexpressed agreement on her part, since he'll take the initiative by acting and telling the servants, whatsoever he says, do. That's obedience to his word. We want the blessings of God, but you've got to be obedient to the word. Amen. And listen, I said it all the time. 1 John 5:4, and you said. When I first got married, I had problems. I have problems. But God, you said. And you've got to show me how to love her as you love the church. I can't live in sin and ask God for blessings. Are y'all with me? I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I can't go to the word and want him to do something when I'm actually living in sin. Amen. Here we see the movement and making of the miracle, okay? But I want to look at the transference of a problem, but the truth of his power. Important to see here that Jesus has the power to change water to wine. He says, fill the water pots with water. And I need to bring this out because in verse 6, where it says, 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 foreskins apiece. Back in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, they had pots that they used that they washed their feet. And they washed their hands. The Pharisees had a problem with that because when the disciples came to eat, they didn't wash their hands. And they used these pots of water as a purpose of the customary Jewish law. It was a purifying, you look in Leviticus. But Jesus uses these same pots, as Reverend Walker said, the transformation of changing the water into something wine. Are you with me? So the truth of his power is Jesus authenticates that he has the power. 7 signs are recorded here. Changed water into wine, first miracle. Healing of the royal official's son in Capernaum. He heals the paralytic at the pool of Bethsaida. Feeding of 5,000. He walks on water. He heals the blind man and he raises Lazarus from the dead. So not only we see a transference of a problem, the truth of his power, but the timing of the presentation. It is said by the time the chief steward had tasted it in verse 9, the water had became wine. Precisely when this miracle occurs is a mystery. It's occurring, it could be narrated when the stewards tasted the water, it had become wine. But Jesus, you never see him touching the bottle, the containers. You didn't see him say a prayer. He thought and it came wine. He thought, and it turned to wine. And guess what? Anything he touches is the best. The governor of the feast assumes it was the bridegroom of the wedding. But treasured in this story is the real bridegroom that is present at the wedding. He will be the bridegroom coming for his church, which is the bride. We are the body, the bride, the building. Okay? So he will be coming for his church. Are you with me? So what happens here when we look at this story, when Jesus thought wine and changed the water into wine, they take it to the bridegroom. He tastes it, right? And he says, wow, usually they put that out first, but you saved the best for last. And who you think got the credit? The bridegroom. Jesus is the real bridegroom there that could have got the credit, but he didn't get the credit. Jesus was quiet because later on his glorification will come. He glorified the bride. They glorified the bridegroom on the spot. He says, wow, man, you saved the best for last. Are you with me? The real bridegroom who served the wine is Jesus. He will appear to rapture us at the last day. And we're moving closer and closer to that. I don't know if you know it or not. No problem looking at the news. He's coming back for us. A church without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Amen? So not only we look at the transference of a problem, the truth of his power, but there's this timing in this presentation. The traditional Jewish objects show that him creating something new precisely through Jewish context. The miracle is about abundant goodness. Grace for grace, as John said in 1:16. I don't know if you know it or not, but the wine was the best wine.
That's right.
All right? Listen, let me share this. It wasn't MD 2020. No. Wasn't Boone's Farm. This was real, like Cleve said, heavenly wine. Amen. So the transference of a problem, truth of his power, and the timing of the presentation, it says in verse 10, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. When he is well drunk, then that is his worst. But now you've kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. As I get ready to close, I'm reminded of this particular poem. Written by Myrna Welsh. An old man died in the town, and they auctioned off his furniture, belongings, and he had an auction. It was an auctioneer. They picked up a violin, and the violin was dusty, and he started off with $3. Everybody looked around, started off, I'll take it. We went to five. In the back of the room, a man gets up and he starts walking towards the front. He grabs a violin, blows the dust off, and he begins playing sweet melody on the violin. He gives it back to the auctioneer, goes back and sits down. They start the bid off again at 25. 25, I'll take it. Talks at 100. 100. Goes up to 500. 500, I'll take it. Goes up to 1,000. I'll take it. Goes up 2,000, take it. 3,000, sold to the man. People in the thing didn't understand what was going on. He said to one another, how can this be? It was getting ready to sell for $3, but now it's sold for $3,000. He said, because it's been touched by the master. Don't you know your life has been touched by the master? Because you've got a new wine. You've got a new joy. You've got a new peace because you've been touched by the master. I don't know about you, but I know he's touched my life. And he keeps touching my life. And it gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes on. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, he rose with all power in his hand. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. They say the best for last. Well, he got up out of the grave. He said, I've got all power in my hands. Now he's seated at the right hand, making intercession for you and I. Amen. 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 God saves the best for last. Amen. At this time, yes, every head will be bowed. And I want you just to think where you are this morning. Because if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're playing Russian roulette with your life. You need to be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And accepting Jesus Christ is simple as ABC. I accept, I believe that he was died and buried and rose again, and I make confession with my mouth. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. I played around long enough in my life, and I'm so glad that God drew me. With all this word that went forth today, if you're here this morning and you need to be saved, I just want you to slip your hand up. We all had to come this way, but you're making a public confession that I want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I believe that he died for my sins, buried in the grave, and rose on the third day. If you're here this morning, I just want you to slip your hand up. You here? Anyone? Or you're here and you're looking for a church home. I couldn't think of a better church to join in St. Matthew's. We have a dynamic pastor that preaches, teaches the word of God. You will grow systematically through scripture. If you're here this morning and you want to join St. Matthew's, or you want to slip up your hand. Amen. So everybody here is saved. Everybody here has a church. Amen. So if the rapture takes place and we just have clothes sitting here, will you still be standing here? If that rapture takes place right now, one coming down, amen. Praise God. Praise God. I played that trick on my wife one day in the house. She came in the house and I left my clothes in the living room, sneakers. And she comes in, she's hollering. She's, Gary. And I said, see, that's how the rapture's going to look. You laugh, but it's true. Because as soon as he breaks the sky, sounds the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive shall meet him in the air. Amen. 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 We have one for salvation. Amen. Praise God. Mr. Ed Arnold will take you in the back. Follow Mr. Arnold. Amen. Come on, let's give the church some praise. Again, continue to pray for Pastor. Continue to keep him in your prayers. And Sister Gordon, amen. Thank God for our pastor. He'll be back soon. I know he will. He's getting stronger and stronger. And I continue to pray for Pastor. Love him. Miss him dearly. And that's about it, right? Amen. Let's get ready to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you saved the best for last. We thank you, Lord God, for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you watch over us and protect us. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for our pastor, First Lady. Pray that you would continue to be with them. Keep them in the hollow of your hand. And Father, we pray for Israel. And God, we just pray that you would continue to bless them, keep them, guard them, protect them in the name of Jesus. Give us travel mercies to and from. And we're going to be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on down and meet these preachers.
May his peace be with you till we meet.
I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.